Okay, we're live from Crane Christian Church, somewhere hidden deep in the Ozarks. Deep. Yeah, where everyone is normal. Yeah. So we're, as far as anybody knows, we're just a normal church. Okay, so 1 Samuel chapter 21. And guys, I want to tell you, I spoke at Broken Chains this week on, that's Tuesday night, right? Yeah. And the acoustics were pretty bad, but I want to tell you, I got stirred up. Luckily, most of it was not on camera. But I want to tell you, you need to go back and if you got time, just go back down, look at it on Facebook, and it's only about 20 minutes, but guys, anyway, it is this. We're still talking about David, the path to the palace, chapter 21 of 1 Samuel. And it's a quick review, you know, once again. But here's the deal, guys. I have had wonderful experiences in church. Wonderful experiences. I say that first before I say what I'm going to say next, okay? My experience with religion has not always been wonderful. In fact, at some points it was horrible. And it was because that people put the priority of religion here, okay? And the priority of people down here. And I'm not talking about God's word. I'm not talking about the reality of Christ. I'm talking about their pet religious ideas. Does that make sense? And here's the deal, guys. Many times what happens is I've seen people go hands-on with each other over the color of the carpet, over the, you know, whatever, because this was my grandma's church and she wouldn't stay. She would be able to stand if we had green carpet, you know. Just, you know, and I've actually been called in from my other job. I've been called in to run business meetings at churches because they were so afraid they were going to get violent. Okay. And they got ugly, but there's no rounds fired in that particular situation. Okay. But Matthew 21, David and the Holy Bread. And David came to Nob, to Amalek, the priest. And Amalek was afraid when he met David and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one is with you?" Now let's ask ourselves real quickly, why do you think he was afraid? Number one, Saul was in charge, right? And Saul was crazy. Regularly, he was crazy. The reason that he was crazy was because his desires were up here, once again, and God's desires that he generally tried to follow were down here. Does that make sense? He would not allow anybody to make him look bad. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Well, you know, we just go, what will people think? Well, they're gonna always think something. I mean, they're always, give them something to think about. Anyway, so he says, "The king have ordered me on some business, and he said to me, 'Do not let anyone know about the business on which I send you or what I have commanded you.'" Was David telling the truth here? Yeah. Well, no. If you're talking about Saul, because he was talking about, the priest was talking about Saul as the king. David was talking about the King of Kings. Do you see how there's a difference? Because he hadn't sent David on nothing. David was running for his life, okay? Anybody in here ever feel like you're running for your life? I have. And I don't mean from a person, but just running for my life. "And have directed young men to such a place, and now therefore what you have on hand, give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand or whatever could be found." That taught me something. When I looked at that again, that teaches me something. It don't have to be my way. I want 5 loaves of bread, but hey, if you got 3 crackers and you know, whatever you got, you know, If you got a mint that's been down in the bottom of your purse and it's got some lint on it, you know, or you got the circus peanuts that my grandmother used to carry in her, they're marshmallowy looking yellow orange things. Were they orange? In my mind, they were orange, but it might have been because they've been in the purse so long. So, I mean, you know, when you're in a tight, whatever you got's right. You know what I'm saying? So, the priest answered David and said, "There's no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread if the young men have at least kept themselves from women." And David said, the priest said to them, "Truly, women have been kept for us these 3 days, because we've been on the run. We haven't had time for our girlfriends, okay? And the vessels, the young men are holy, and the bread is in effect common, even though it sanctified the vessel this day." And so the priest gave him holy bread, for of which there was no bread but the shew bread, which had been taken before the Lord in order to put hot bread in its place when it's taken away. Now, some of that's not going to make any sense to you, for some of you, but essentially what happened is they would bake these loaves of bread and put them in the presence of the Lord. This is when we had a holy of holies, okay? When there was a division between us. If you can imagine coming to the temple, just pretend this is a temple, and there's a huge impenetrable curtain up here, okay, that divides us as being folks from the holiness of God. And everybody always, the first thing people think was, well, you know, why would God do that? He did it for our protection. Because, see, no sin can live in the presence of God. No sin can live in the presence of God. The reason that I can come boldly to the throne of God this morning is because that curtain has been removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. When I go into the Holy of Holies last night, praying for this service, praying for this place. I was actually right in here when I was praying. And I'm doing that. When I'm doing that, guys, I'm not afraid. The reason I'm not afraid is because of the covenant that God has made with humankind through his blood. Because if I had to come to God and say, "Look, Lord, I've been good today. I hadn't stole nothing. I hadn't done, you know, on my best day, I'm a little stinker." Well, bigger stinker some days than others, but you get the point, okay? And I think Jesus laid it out for us so that anybody can understand. Hey, if you see that over there and you want that in somebody else's, you've already done it in your mind. It's already a sin. Well, we ain't no winners in this game without Jesus, right? Because on my best day, I'm a stinker. And some days worse than others, but anyway. So they took the bread, and this verse 7, "There a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord." I don't know what that meant, okay? Detained before the Lord. "And his name was Doeg, an Edomite, chief of the herdsmen who belonged to Saul. And David said to Amalek, 'Is it not here a hand of spear or sword? For I have brought neither my sword or my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste.'" I'm going to tell you, the reason he fled without his stuff was because Saul was trying to kill him. You remember that, right? His wife got covered for him. You know, he'd been hid in the field. But this guy, okay, this Edomite, Doeg, is going to come into, it's going to be an important part of the story in a few minutes, okay? So he asked for that, and the priest said, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, he is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take it, for there is no other except that one here." And he said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." Now, when I was again reading this again, studying this again, prying the top off of it again, see, we always think we got to do things the way we've always done things. Okay? We always think we got to do things in church the way we've always done things. We always think in church it's always got to be like it was for our grandma or our grandma. I want to tell you, back in those days, they did not take something that was unholy and use it for holy purposes. Okay? So this sword, I want you to think about this. This sword has been carried by a man who is screaming, cursing the God of Israel. This has been a weapon in his hand to kill Israelite after Israelite after Israelite through the years. This thing, I mean, if there's anything ever cursed, that would it'd be that sword. I mean, it's been it should be destroyed. It should be this. But guess what happened? David uses that to perpetuate the kingdom of God. I want you to see that. You remember, okay, now that I'm almost 37, but the point being is I can remember some things back a little ways, okay. But you remember when there were guys on TV screaming and hollering about this new Christian music that got the beat of the devil and the words are, you know, and they were singing Bible verses. But the word, I mean, and it'll entice your sensuality and it'll do this and it'll do that. Do you remember this? Yes. If you hadn't, you need to read about it, okay? I've been to places where they were burning Christian records, okay? I've been to places where they were breaking it and turning them in and it goes, you know, it's got this, it's got that, it's got this, it's this rocket, it's this, and guess what happened? Those people then were discovered in sexual sin. Whoop, Merry Christmas. Some of those people was like, we realized that they've been doing this in with the finances. They've been doing this. But they were all ready to point at this, point at that. I mean, if you're not doing it like me, you're doing it wrong, right? Does that, does the church have a history of doing that? Yes. If it ain't our way, it's the highway. Okay. So the bottom line is this. He took that sword after it had been used for evil. And then it became part of what God was doing. Now that doesn't mean that I'm not gonna say that. I'll say something else. We're gonna follow the word of God. We're gonna be nice. We're gonna try to talk nice on TV. But anyway, but the point being is this, right? The bottom line is, I want you to see this, that a lot of people would have said, we can't use that sword. We can't use that sword. I want to tell you something. There was nothing special. There was nothing special about the little basket with the fish and the loaves that the boy brought to Jesus. It was not a special ordained basket. It was a basket his mama, whatever his mama had cleaned to put his sandwich in, right? And they put it in there. And then it was given to the Messiah. And then it became special. When he began to multiply the fish and the loaves. And it began to, I think that's pretty special. Right? But it didn't come from the container. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have much of a container to work with this morning. And I'll be praying. I'll literally be praying. I'll be saying, God, oh my goodness, blah, 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 blah. I said, Jesus, you just don't have much to work with here. And literally every time I hear the words, I never have. Read the Bible. As we look at the life of David, as we look at the life of the leaders that he used and perpetuated the gospel, the New Testament church was fussing and fighting over the money at some point. I mean, like in the first, chapter and a half. About who was getting the most distributions, and right? We've always been like this. This ain't nothing new. But guess what? God has not changed either. He ain't giving up on you. Okay? So, he took his sword and he flees to Gath, and he rose and fled that day before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said, is this not David, the king of the land? Did he not sing a hymn to another and dances, saying, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David took these words to heart and was very much afraid. I've got a weird theory about this. But if you don't like it, it's okay. So this is the guy. I want you to think about this. This is the guy that had seen across the valley this freak of nature screaming and cursing the people of Israel and saying, "You come fight me, you wimps," and you know, for 40 days. Is this the same guy? Is this the same David? Okay. And God rose up in him by his spirit and his faith, and he chose to go forward and conquer this. Is that what happened? That's very quick, if you hadn't heard that story lately. But the bottom line is, this is the same guy. And now there's somebody talking about him. They're not threatening him. There's somebody talking about him. And that fear grips him. Now, I have a theory about this. I have a theory that one of the ways that God keeps us out of trouble, because I think David could have got wrapped up with those Philistines and before then got his eyes off of what he was supposed to be doing, because they had some practices. We won't get into that, okay? But they had some practices that would appeal to some people and some things that happened, and he might lose his mission that he's got. Does that make sense? Does it matter who you hang with?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something. I go into the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. I'll baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay. I'll go into the world. But that doesn't mean that that's the people that I bring to me and become my inner circle. Does that make sense? Because I need some strength close to me. Well, David got scared and started acting crazy. He says, he changed his behavior before them, and he feigned madness in their hands, scratching at the door of the gate and letting slobber run down on his beard. It says saliva, but I won't, you know, some of y'all don't know what that means. But some of those people out there, I mean, everybody in here is just like brain surgeons, except, you know, without the training or experience or the education. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys, literally, he acted so crazy. The king says, "Do I need somebody else crazy around here? Okay, what am I supposed to do with him? Bring him into my house? Yeah, he's a big deal, but he's out there acting crazy." Well, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So that was the introduction. So now we're going to talk about what we're supposed to talk about today. You ready? So I'm going to read these first two verses. David therefore departed from there and escaped from the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and all his father's house heard of it, they went down there to him. We're going to hit that hard in a minute. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Guys, this is one of the most prophetic picture. This is a type and a shadow of life. Okay? So what's this? First point. You've got his brothers that's been talking trash about him for the last years. "Well, go back to your sheep. Why do you think you're such a big deal?" Right? Is that what happened? You got his dad, who didn't think enough of him even to bring him in when the prophet came. Okay? You've got those guys, and when they heard it, they went down there to him. So the first point is persecution can do one of two things. It can cause you to split and fuss and point fingers at one another, or you have a common enemy and it brings unity. I'm going to tell you, when the shooting starts, people usually run behind the machine gunner. okay? Because that's a safe place. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not, and the bottom line is, this is just a picture of life. And we, this country, this is not a political statement. This country, this world is just spinning in every kind of weird direction you can imagine, okay? And scaring people to death. And so instead of us pointing at one another and say, well, it's your problem, it's your fault, it's your fault. Well, let me tell you what happened yesterday. I was working here in the church and I heard somebody come in. And it always makes me a little nervous. So I eased around, a little lady was walking up there, a little sweet lady was walking up from Branson, and she dropped off something about a prayer walk that they're having in Branson. And I said, yeah, I'll be glad to tell the folks about it and hand it out. And you know, they're gonna be walking and praying and asking God to bless our nation and to bless, you know, good. And I said, well, yeah, I'll be glad to do that. Little nice little cards. And she turned around and go, and I said, wait, hold on just a second. I just felt something in my spirit. I said, you care if I pray over this thing? I said, I don't know where I'll be, to be honest with you. And she said, no, I'd love that. Please do. And I began to pray. And guys, I've been praying for the unity of the body of Christ for 60 years. And you go, no, you haven't. Yes, I have. Since I was a child, I saw the division. I saw the brokenness. I saw the finger pointing. I saw all that as a child. And I've been longing and praying for 60 years. And I saw the edge of it yesterday. But I think it, unfortunately, I wish it came because, oh, we're so smart now. Oh, now we see the truth, ain't we something? I wish that had happened like that. But my experience is that ain't the way nothing happens. The reason you trade it off is because it won't crank no more. But I want to tell you, as persecution comes, as things begin to shift, as things, I believe that we will be pushed together in unity in the body of Christ. And guys, his daddy, he might not have thought enough of him to call him when the priest come, or when the prophet came, but I won't tell you, when he realized, wait, Saul is trying to kill him and I'm his daddy, that may make me a victim too. He went to him, didn't he? They all got together, okay. So, take that for what you can do with it. So, I want to tell you the next thing. And everyone who is in distress, and everyone who is in debt, and everyone who is discontented, gathered to him, and he became captain over them. With him there were 400 men, or about 400 men with him, okay? How desperate do you have to come? How desperate do you have to be to come to Jesus? Blessed, remember the blesseds? Remember the Beatitudes? Not one of them is nothing I'm excited about. You know, the broken, all those things as we look at that. Why is that a blessing? It's a blessing because you look past your flesh. I'm gonna tell you something. I go to the nursing home and hang out. And not one of them people don't want to talk to me. I've never been snubbed at the nursing home. I'm popular. I'm a popular guy. If I bring my guitar, I'm even more popular. You know? And you're just like, Bruce, why are you saying that? I'm saying that because those people are hungry. And I want to tell you something. There's a blessing to being spiritually hungry. There's a blessing when things aren't, we're all not so comfortable that we're not crying out to the Lord. Okay. So these guys are in distress, and everyone who's in debt and everyone who's discontented, up until this point, these are people you meet on the street and you go, oh, yeah, they're discontented. I don't want to hear his story. Well, you know, this person, you know, they smell bad. Well, you know, this person. Well, right now, hey, they're all gathering in one place. And they're gathering there because they're about to be made in this cave of Adullam. We're going to talk about this. They're about to be made into David's mighty men. And then, when this thing's over with, they're hanging out in the palace. It's their path to the palace. It's not just David's path to the palace. It's the path to the palace. And it's living in a cave. I don't know what you know about caves. I'm not a big cave lover, okay? Especially when they turn the lights out. I was in a cave, I think it was Silver Dollar City years ago. We're sitting in there and they turn the light out and I'm like, we just want to show you how dark it is. I'm like, how many rounds of ammunition do I have? But anyway, the point being is, yeah, oh yeah, that we got us clogged up. But anyway, but the point being is literally, guys, caves were places they dumped stuff. There were places of, you know, not a lot of garbage. There wasn't a lot of garbage pickup in ancient Israel, okay? And there were places that they, you know, well, you know, we got three dead cows. Let's just pull them in there. It won't blow down there and stink so bad. I mean, they can be rough places. And David went from there to Mizpah of Moab and said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. Now think about that. This is the Moabites, okay? These are the outcasts. These are the people that's like, what? And David now is trusting his family to the Moabites. And because he's desperate. Anybody here ever been desperate? Hey, I've prayed some desperate prayers and done some desperate things. And here's the deal. And they dealt with him all the time David was in the stronghold, and the prophet of Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold, depart and go to the land of Judah. So David departed and went to the forest of Hebron. Now he's having to live in the woods in a tent. He's living down by the river in a van, eating a full filled diet of government cheese. Or maybe not. Okay. So here's the deal. Literally, guys, Adullam means the word Adullam means refuge or retreat, okay? But let me tell you what happens there, okay? Number one, iron upon iron, one sharpens another. And guys, don't avoid the body of Christ. Does it irritate you? Good for you, you're normal, okay? But allow the body of Christ to, we talked about the preparation and the creation of a knife last week, but you know it's a lot of beating and sanding and grinding and heating and cooling. But I want to tell you, that place of Adullam, it builds us while we build others, okay? You have gifts that I need. I have gifts that you need. Your brothers and sisters have gifts that you need. And it's also a time, unbelievably, this time of the wilderness and the time of Adullam, is a time of testing. There's this thing called test anxiety, okay, where you go in and, you know, you're so nervous about the test. It's not that you don't have the information. It's just that, just the taking of the test. And some of us have some test anxiety about life, and we either numb ourselves with drugs and alcohol, or we numb ourselves with diversion, we numb ourselves with whatever there is to numb ourselves with, whatever works for us. And it keeps us from living and feeling, okay? And guys, I want to tell you, life hurts sometimes. And in the middle of that, God is making in us to what he's calling us to be. Okay? He wants you to be built yourself, and he wants you to build others. I want to tell you, actually, Irene and I were talking last night or at some point, and we were talking about studying and leadership. But the bottom line is, guys, there's no way that I would know what I know about the Bible, or nor have the relationship that I have with him, if I wasn't trying to drag other people with me. No, I'm dead serious, because I care about what comes over this, what comes out of here. I want you guys to have what God has for you. And it's not because I'm a good person. It's just because that's what God's called me to be. Okay? But the bottom line is, and people say, I had people come to me years ago and say, Bruce, I kind of feel like we need this. So this may be a warning for some of you. Okay? I think we need this. And I said, I think we do too. Start it. Well, I don't think I can do that. Well, I don't think you can either. That's why you need God. That's why you need God. If you could do it by yourself, you're not supposed to do it. Okay? Because, yeah. So, it's also a place of preparation for the next stage. Okay? And this life is one level to another level to another level. And some people literally, as they said, does this ever quit? Oh, yeah. It's like my retirement. I've got my retirement all figured out. It's a little box about this big. They're gonna suck the water out of me and put me in there. And then I'll have a rock over my head, but my spirit will be with Jesus. So it's pretty good retirement, okay? You know, being with him. And I don't know what's on the menu up there, but I'm just thinking it's pretty good. Okay, so it's also a place of surrender. How many of you guys love the word surrender? I don't. I don't like the word surrender. It's not my will, but his will be done. Have you ever heard that before? Can you imagine my sister, Mary, I always see her as like an 18-year-old, 17-year-old. And this angel comes and says, oh, yeah, by the way. And she says, let it be unto me as you have said. But she has a great question. How can this be? I don't know. I don't know that she said it like that to a glowing being. but I'd probably like, what? You know, that might be but literally, guys, that's my prayer when God is telling me, when he's drawing me, when he's pushing me, and I'm going, that don't sound great, but let it be unto me as you have said. Because God, I know, number one, you know a bunch of stuff that I haven't even thought about whether I need to know or not. You're already there where I'm going, because there's no time or space. With him, he's already there. Okay? And you chose, selected, preordained, predestined me from the foundation of the earth to be and do what you called me to be and do. So why should I fear? Well, it can life be irritating? Full disclosure. Okay. All right. So it's a place of surrender. And last thing, yeah, we got 5 minutes, I'm good. If this is right, is this right? Okay, good. All right, so here's the deal, guys. Let's talk about caves again. I had a friend this week die. And he's young, and he died. And I had talked to him 2 weeks before, a week before, and hugged my ex, and he's fine. Now he's with Jesus. And I've been asked to do a service, and I will. And here's the deal, guys. I never think about a funeral that I don't think about Lazarus. Whether I talk about Lazarus or not, doesn't matter. I never think about death that I don't think about Lazarus. Because guys, there was a cave in that situation. And literally, guys, Jesus knew what was going to happen. He was God, is God. Was God then, is God now, will be God, okay? And he finds out he's sick, and what happens? He delays. And then he dies, and he says, well, he's gone to sleep. You know why he said he's gone to sleep? Because nobody knows death like Jesus. Because he's been in heaven with the people that's done been through it. Right? Nobody knows it like him. And he says, well, you know, he sleeps. The reason he used those words to me, though, was because he was basically going to wake him up. And so literally, guys, he's in a place of death. He's in a place of cave. And if you feel like that your dreams are dead, if you feel like you're in this cave, nothing's working out the way you want it to, it's dark, it stinks, it's a place where people dump stuff. If you're in this cave today, I want you to know that in a cave is where resurrection happens. And the way resurrection happens is not by you, you know, Jesus was describing his situation one time, and he says, oh, you ain't going to get no sermon except for the sermon of Jonah. He's like, what? He went the opposite direction to do the opposite thing? That's not the sermon part he was talking about. He was talking about the fish. 3 days in the belly of the fish. And I'm going to tell you what he did is he's got that seaweed wrapped, you know, in the little flannel board pictures. He's got that seaweed wrapped around his head. And he ain't in there saying, I don't deserve this. I'm better than this. I don't know what he's saying is, God, help me. Lord, have mercy. Please, Jesus. All right. Jehovah, I'm sure he said. But anyway, but the point being is this. The cave's not the place to bow up. The place, the cave is the place to repent. To say, God, I'm yours. Everything I've done, everything I'm going to do, just let it be unto me as you have said. If this is my new dwelling place, well, Merry Christmas to me. Yeah, that's a stupid saying I say. But because, you know, you get presents sometimes and you open them and you go, that ain't going to fit. But anyway, but the point, that's not what I thought I was getting. I thought I was getting a BB gun. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys. This cave, as David is in this cave, as he's crammed in here with these guys and some of the families brought the chickens, you know, whatever's going on. The babies are crying. The goats are hollering, you know, whatever. It's raining outside. It doesn't smell real good in there. I want to tell you, caves are a place of resurrection. And after his time in Adullam, ever how many years that is, we'll figure that out when we study it next week. He has a different hat that he wears. He wears a different hat. He goes from a hat to keep the sun off his head, to a hat of authority, which is the crown of Israel. And that's what God has taken us to, the palace. Not that we're all gonna be, ain't we something, you know. What was that song? Ain't we sweet, just to walk in down the street. Yeah, I sing that to myself in the morning. Ain't I sweet? Yeah. Not so much. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys. He is making, molding, shaping us into the men and women he's called us to be. And if we'll quit cursing the cave, it'll go faster. And if you want to, pray for a nightlight, though. You know, it's dark in them caves. And it's good to be surrounded by brothers and sisters like you that's been kicked out of everything else. So, you know, it's and dissatisfied, you know, it's great to be part of a family. When I pray over my food, it's a very short prayer. I don't get into the missionaries, okay? But what I do is I pray, I say, Lord, thank you for my food and thank you for my family. Amen. And when I get done, I'll look at them and I'll say, you know, you're my family, right? And they go, yeah, we figured that. Okay. They're not very happy about it, but you know, oh no, not him. Father, thank you so much for these folks. Wrap your arms around them this morning. If they're in the cave this morning, Lord, let them realize that you are doing something in their lives. We love you. We give our hearts and lives, our futures, our past, everything to you. Let it be unto us as you have said. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We'll be kicking it back up here in about 45 minutes.